Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, just a warning before we get into this, that some details of this story could be very distressing for some listeners. Danielle McLaughlin was 28 years of age. She's from Buncrana in County Donegal, and she was on holidays in India back in March 2017 when she was raped and murdered. Now, somebody was arrested at the time, but there's still been no trial. So her family at home in Donegal have been waiting for justice for 7 years. Danielle's mum, Andrea Branigan, is with me today on Lunchtime Live. Andrea, will you tell us a little bit about Danielle and why she went travelling, first of all?
Danielle had went to university and had graduated, and then she decided then to go and explore the world with her friends. And she had explored most of the world. And then in 2015, she came home for my husband was very ill, and she came home to help. And she left then in January 2016. And then she went back again. She went to India to help in Mother Teresa's orphanage and she went to Goa. And then she had to come back again in 2016 because my dad was terminally ill. To help out again, and then she left in February 2017. March 14th, 2017, she was found dead in the field.
This was in Goa, Andrea.
In Goa,
yeah,
South Goa in India.
I'm sure you remember well that call that morning that you got.
No, I didn't get a call that day. This was the 14th that they were word, and I didn't get word from her. I normally would have heard from Danielle every day, and I didn't hear from her from the day before, where she told me she was with her friend, who is now the accused, and that about half eight that night, there was a knock at the door, and it was Danielle's best friend and her mum, Louise, and Louise was the one that told me.
What happened?
It took a few days before it was confirmed it was her. The embassy have never told me, either embassy, that Danielle passed away.
You never heard from the embassy here?
No, neither told me that she passed away. I contacted them. I contacted both embassies. I didn't. That was my daughter, Jolene, who was only 17 at the time.
When was the last time you had talked to Danielle?
The 13th of March.
Just the day before?
Yeah.
Do you recall that conversation, Andrea?
We didn't talk. We actually texted because I was on a bus going to Dublin with her younger sister who was going up to Crumlin that day. And Danielle texted me to say that she was with her friend and that she was safe. It was Holly in Goa, and what was I at? And I told her I was going up, and she says, oh, let me know how hospital goes.
And she was just there, she'd backpacking, having the time of her life, Andrea.
She wasn't backpacking. That is something that has always come up, but she was not backpacking.
Was she not?
Danielle was over to Goa that specific time to get her yoga teaching, because she had planned to go to Canada to live. So she was over for that reason. She was actually in North Goa, and a friend of hers that she'd met travelling from the UK asked her would she go to South Goa with them. So she actually only arrived in South Goa on the 12th of March.
So she'd only arrived 2 days before this happened?
That evening, actually. She wasn't in North Goa. I think it was 26 hours or something before that happened to her.
It had always been widely reported that she was backpacking, but that's not the case.
No, she wasn't. She was over to do her yoga teaching. I think that's more what people thought, because she had backpacked.
She had done that, yeah. But she was out and enjoying herself like anyone would be on a holiday like that. You must, I'm sure, Andrea, when you got the news from your friend.
Everything was all kind of I was reported in the media that I was a gear from Muncrana. Like, I was on the UK media, and that's how Danielle's friend found out. They came up with two and two together, and her friends in Liverpool, and came up with, it was Danielle. They'd seen a photo, and that's how they knew.
And you were at home in Donegal at the time?
I was in Muncrana, yeah.
Yeah. What did you do then, Andrea?
What we do then, we contacted the Gardaí. They were very good, actually, to be honest with you. They took photos of Jolene, and they tried to find out from the embassy what was going on or what was happening, and nobody seemed to know nothing. This was now we were chatting now. There's a stage, it was, could have been maybe 10 o'clock at night. So nobody knew kind of what to do. The guards didn't even really kind of know what to do at that stage, you know what I'm saying? And then it was all like trying to get the UK embassy and trying to get the Irish embassy. Danielle's dual citizenship. So she has the two embassies involved in her case. And so that basically was just all trying to find out where to go and what to do. And eventually then I got in contact with the UK embassy, and then they kind of informing them what had to happen next about how to try and get her home. And
but you found out that your then 28-year-old daughter had been murdered while in Goa in India from her friend, and nobody, no official at any point, Andrea, contacted you?
Had ever told me, no official to this day has ever said to me that my daughter was murdered and raped in Goa. It came from her best friend all her life and her best friend's mum. Who, like, I know myself, like, that young girl thought of my daughter like her sister. And that woman thought of her like my daughter as like her other daughter, if you know what I mean. So how hard was that for them to come up and tell me that?
When the wheels of motion started and you got on to the local guards in Buncrana, and I'm sure they made many calls and contact with Dublin and the embassy as well.
A lot of that was done through Patrick McLaughlin, local PD.
Yeah.
For Sinn Féin, he was absolutely amazing. So it was reported in the local paper online that my daughter basically named her. And this was on the night I just found out just before it. And so my 17-year-old went on and she said it wasn't confirmed it was her. And the next thing then, we had Patrick McLaughlin at our door and he was contacting embassies and he started stepping in. Danielle's friends all started stepping in. They were all amazing. I can never thank her friends and Jolene and Patrick McLaughlin enough for what they'd done that time.
A man was arrested by police in Goa, in India, charged with rape, murder, violent robbery and destruction of evidence. He's pleaded not guilty to all of the charges. Has he appeared before the High Court of Bombay at Goa?
He has not appeared, no. He does not appear in High Court. He has been heard in Maragoa Court, that's where it gets heard. And it was on yesterday, and this is a whole, we're all waiting now to find out. They have applied for some order, but we don't know what the order is. That's to be heard tomorrow. But the court case is actually meant to finish this week. But there's no jury in India, so the judge has to decide the verdict.
The judge decides the verdict. Is that that's what you said, Andrea? Is it the judge decides
the verdict?
Yeah,
it's a female judge.
So he has been in custody since then, since the 14th of March, 2017. So this trial commenced in July 2017. It's basically been ongoing for about 7 years then, Andrea?
About 8 million, over 7 years, yeah.
One of the longest murder trials in the world.
It has never stopped. Like, it's been on, like, even over COVID, like, it would have been kind of heard was doing video link. I asked for video link. I was refused it. So it was that they allowed us to do video link with him. I wanted to see, of course, I'd never been to India, never been to, and I wanted to see what was happening, but I was told no.
That you couldn't...
Couldn't view it, no.
You couldn't follow the proceedings but via video link?
No.
So have you... And you've never been over, Andrea, for the trial. So how were you informed of what happened?
We had to hire a lawyer at our own expense to find out what was happening.
So you just get a phone call after the suspect appears in court over the last 7 years to find out, to hear what the update is?
The lawyer emails us, and we also had to hire a lawyer in Ireland.
So an extension to have the trial continue longer was previously refused by the court, and the court was told that this trial has to conclude, is that right, by the 17th of this month?
Yeah, but the judge has now applied for an extension again, and we're all waiting to find out that you get it. He's up until the end of October now.
The judge is looking for this, is requesting the extension.
Yeah.
And how will you find that out? Through your solicitor?
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that, Andrea, God, at this stage?
It's very frustrating. It's like lovely. Like, you're getting all these different stories and different things, and you're Googling everything, to be honest with you. A lot of things that's going on. It's hard, and it's really, really, really hard. Like, I know now Jolene there, she's a finished night shift, but she's kind of, because of what happened yesterday, they've applied for this order. We don't know what the order is. We're kind of trying to find out that. So I'm hoping the embassy can find out that today. I've asked them to try and find out what the order is.
But you want this concluded. I mean,
I need it concluded. Danielle has young sisters. We all need to move on, to grieve. We'll never forget her, but we want to remember for her, not for what happened to her. I never want Danielle remembered for that.
What was she like, Andrea?
Oh, Danielle was amazing. Anybody that ever met Danielle, like even met her for even 5 minutes, would remember. She was just such a positive person. And she had amazing friends, which I am always grateful for. She adored her sisters. Like, I know now Jolene would be 9 years between them. And when one of Jolene's birthdays, she said to Jolene, she says, I hope I turn out just like you. Mm. Even though she was 9 years older than I.
How were you doing, Andrea, with all of this going on?
It's tough, it's hard. It's been a hard few years. Yeah.
And the distance to India and the not being able to be there and be in the courtroom and hear it for yourself must be very difficult.
That's why we're planning to go over for the verdict. Myself, Jolene and Louise.
When you find out in the next 24 hours, that's when you'll know the date of when that's likely to be.
Like, we don't want to be over there for I have young children, like I have 11-year-olds. Like, so... Like, we only want to go over there for a matter of days. Like, I want to go and hear the verdict and hear what he's sentenced to, and go to meet the farmer who found Danielle, which I'm so grateful for, and to see where she was found, because they've made a memorial there where she was found in Goa.
Well, I hope you get the date for the trial conclusion sooner rather than later, Andrea, and there's no further delay from this. Has there been any contact from the department here, or the Department of Justice at the embassy?
I really had a bad experience with them over the last 7 years. The last couple of months, I got a new embassy worker, and I could not say enough about him. He has literally... even text me at the weekend there to see how I was. I mean, he's amazing. Before that there, now, my experience with the Justice Department was absolutely terrible.
Andrea, I hope you get that date, as I said, without delay, and we'll be thinking of you, and thank you for joining us here in the programme today.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.